Welcome to the College Prep Genius Radio Show, where we can answer all your questions about getting college for free. Today, your host is Jean Burke, the author of College Prep Genius, The No-Brainer Way to SAT Success, and you can find her at collegeprepgenius.com. And I'm the moderator, Felice Gerwitz. Welcome. Well, hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I am excited to be bringing you podcast number 27. Today, we're taking mystery out of test scores, and the name of this podcast is the ABCs to College Test Scores. And understanding those pesky scores can be really confusing, and so we're really thankful to have Jean Burke on the show today. And we also want to thank our sponsor, College Prep Genius, and so if you are looking for the show notes, you can go to collegeprepgenius.com/podcast and find our show notes on that page, as well as going to College Prep Genius and signing up for Jean's email list. And there you will get up-to-date information on all kinds of things college test-taking related, and as well as Jean's schedule, which is really crazy. She is all over the place, and that is because she is teaching kids to pass the SAT and do really well, more than just pass it with flying colors, and that's what we're going to talk about today with the test scores. So again, we want to thank our sponsor, College Prep Genius, and one of the ways you can thank Jean is by subscribing to this podcast. If you don't know how to do that, you can go to ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com, click on the FAQs, and it will walk you through exactly how to follow the podcast on this network. Or if you go to the collegeprepgenius.com/podcast, there is a big subscribe button. You can click on that and subscribe to this show. This show is brought to you for free through the generous sponsorship of College Prep Genius. And the best way to thank Jean, other than emailing her and telling her how much you enjoy the show, is to subscribe to the show and share it with a friend. So we thank you ahead of time for doing that. Well, now it's time to get started with the show. And now here's our resident expert, Jean Burke. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Jean, I am delighted because today we are going to talk about test scores, you know, taking the mystery out of, you know, interpreting these test scores. And so you are going to explain what they are, as well as, you know, what a good score is and when and if a child should retake the test. So first of all, let's talk about the test scores and what they mean, and especially in light of how the SAT has been changed.
Well, the new formatting of the SAT that's going to roll out basically in March of 2016, we're going to see the 1600 come back. You know, up until pre-2005, you know, we had 1600, and then it went to that 2400 formatting where you had your math, your critical reading, and your writing, and so you had three sections. Well, as the new test rolls out, you're going to see the math section, of course, being its own section, and then you're going to see the critical reading and the writing, what's called writing and language and reading combined. So one of the things that people in the past were, you know, kind of faced with was that some schools accepted the writing section, some did not. And in the new formatting, when it comes to the 1600, or the 800 for the reading and the writing, you're now going to see it combined, where now students really have to do well on the writing section. It's basically no longer optional. So 1600 is the perfect score. Now, if you do the optional essay, it is actually not counted in with the 1600. And the way the essay will be scored, it will be scored on three different categories: reading, writing, and analysis. And the most that each judge can give, there'll be two judges, the most that they can give for each of the three sections is a 4, which means that the highest that you could get on the essay would be an 8, 8, and an 8, or the lowest you could get would be a 2, 2, and 2. That would be one from each judge. So That's what you're going to see. Now, even if you do the essay, which I highly recommend, you won't see that 888 somehow count in with a 1600. It will be completely separate. So that's what we're going to see in the future.
Okay, so that's a way for the students to know how well they did. So obviously, getting a 1600 or a perfect score, so the writing section, let's say you take that optional writing, would that go back to the 800? So that would be a 2400?
No, it is not counted in because it's the way it's graded. It's only graded on a four, up to a four, in each of the three sections, reading, analysis, and writing. And so the most you could get is an 8/8/8. So it's not an 8.
Okay,
so it's not
counted in the score at all. Okay.
Not at all.
Okay, clear as mud. I'm glad I asked. Okay, so then the perfect score would be an 800 in the math and an 800 in the reading and writing. So now when we look at that, which they always have to do it weird, so we look at it and go, nothing in our lives is an 800 and nothing in our lives is a 1600 or before and a 2400. So it doesn't give the normal parent or student any ability to say, okay, well, what's good? Other than to look at a college, and colleges set their minimum scores. So, what is a good score now? Before we kind of had an idea, now we're lost again.
And I think that there's going to be a time period where there's going to be certainly adjustments. But I'm going to assume that what they're going to base a good score on is kind of what they based it on even before the score changes in March, and that was when they based it on the math and the critical reading only, that 1600 out of 2400. And by the way, according to the College Board website, the average SAT score right now on the math and the critical reading is 1,007, and that's out of 1,600. The average score to get into a college is about 1,210. Now, that doesn't mean an Ivy League school. That's just an average across the board. Certainly, it would be higher the top-tier school. So that means your average student is 200 points below just to get into college. So when you go to a college's website, and almost every college has this information on their site, certainly it's a lot easier than calling the school, and it certainly cut down on manpower, is to go to their website and look. Most of them will have a minimum score to get in their school, and then they'll show you different tiers for scholarships. So they might say, for example, to get into my school, you need this amount. But to get a partial scholarship, you need this amount, or a half a scholarship, or a full scholarship, whatever. So it's usually pretty clear on their site. But what is a good score? Because, and of course, that's going to vary on the colleges. But what I will tell you is that I would certainly shoot for around a 1,400 on your SAT. That's where a lot of the good school scholarships will start. Now, that doesn't mean that a 1,350 in another school wouldn't be a full scholarship, because it could. But a 1,400 is a good starting place because, colleges go up in their rankings nationally based on test scores. So, of course, the higher the score, the more money that you get. Now, again, that can vary. A 33 on your ACT, which, again, is equivalent to about a 1,400 or 1,420 on the SAT. Colleges take either one, so it doesn't matter. Will get you a full ride, not only at Auburn University, but probably most big universities around the country. A 32 ACT or about a 1,390 on the SAT will get you a full ride at the University of Alabama. We have, because I'm from Texas, we have got 14 colleges alone in Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana that will give you a full scholarship, around a 27 on your ACT or around a 1280 on your SAT. So that's why it's so important to go to their site, to to call the colleges. There's, you know, a lot of places that you can, you know, that you can find these things out. One of the things that we have a great way to help students is if you go to collegeprepgenius.com/when-to-prep, there's a test that you can take, and it will show you basically how you compare to other students. Basically, it'll show you a link to go to where you can plug in your SAT score, you can plug in your GPA and various things and create a profile, and then you put in maybe, let's say, two or three colleges that you're thinking about going to, and it will create a graph that will show you how you compare to everyone else that's in your same category or your same criteria, and it will show you how many kids were either accepted or denied with your same criteria. And so what that does is that shows you where you need to improve. Yeah, if you need, you know, if you're thinking about going to a certain school and you're 300 points below the test score, you'll have that information, so now you know where to work on your weaknesses. So, you know, again, every school is different, so just check their site for a good starting point.
Very good. And we're going to take a quick commercial break right now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about when you should retake the test and what is a good score increase. We'll be right back.
With College Prep Genius, free college can happen to you. That's right. It's never too early to start thinking about test prep to secure your future. Imagine getting free tuition, room and board, free grad school, and more based on your SAT score. College Prep Genius is the key to free. This award-winning, nationally featured program teaches students the logic behind the SAT. You'll learn to answer every question in 30 seconds, raise your score as much as 600 points, and go to the college of your dreams for free. Visit College Prep Genius to know more.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz and I have Jean Burke on the line, and we have been discussing, you know, taking the mystery out of understanding these test scores. And Jean, we have covered some of, you know, what is a good score and so forth, but when should a student retake the test? Obviously not if they get a perfect score. They are pretty much done. You can't do any better than that. But if their score, you know, is at what level do you think, you know, is there like a good indicator, you know, your score is maybe, you mentioned the average or, you know, below average, you know, would be obvious if it was, like you said, the average amount was 1,007, and that's not even good enough to get into a college. So that would be an obvious. But is there like another mark of when they should retake the test?
Well, the great thing about the SAT, or even the ACT, is that there are no penalties for taking it many, many times. And so, you know, you can take it, you know, all seven times a year if you want to. Colleges are basically going to take the highest scores. And what's really cool is there are two what I call bonus S's. One is called a super score. And this is where if your child, let's say, takes the SAT one time and gets a really good math score, but then another test, they get a better reading score, well, the colleges will take the highest scores from different tests and overall super score and give you a composite score, which certainly is more money. And since the College Board has what's called score choice, that means you don't have to send in every score to every school if you don't want to. That is why I tell students to start early. You know, if you're waiting until the, you know, into the junior year, into the senior year, you know, you have less time to take the test. So if you do need to raise it several hundred points, you know, obviously you have a smaller window to be able to do that. So, again, start early so that you have that time to increase it and you don't have to send the scores in. But I think a lot of the score increase really is relevant to the student. You know, I've had kids raise their score 300 points in a week. That's great. But sometimes a student might just need 50 more points to reach that next scholarship level. And that's why it's important to understand the college website and what score you're looking for. And, you know, again, 50 points is really just about two or three more questions. And, you know, if you know that you need that, then you can concentrate on that one section to get that area up. So, You know,
right.
I think the score increase is relevant to the students.
Right. And then, you know, both my kids were able to increase their scores by 100, but they want to continue on. And so they're both taking it again. And so, you know, that's the great thing, to be able to do that. And, you know, on average, like you just said, you know, a 50 point is just a few more questions more correct. So you've had kids increase their scores by, like, you know, I consider it an astronomical, like 600 points. And I think I shared with you, one of my friends who ordered your program, and, you know, I do my best work for you, Jean, on the bleachers.
You're hired.
I know, right? On the bleachers, on the baseball, field. Let me segue before I tell you that story. Jean does have an amazing affiliate program. I'm just an affiliate dummy and have difficulty with all that kind of stuff, but it's okay. I just, you know, the stuff I really love and believe in, I shout from the rooftop anyway. But if you're listening and you love Jean's program and are great at affiliates, you can just go to College Prep Genius, and I believe it's in the About section. She's had a great new revamped website, and if you look there, there's information of signing up for her affiliate. But now back to my story, and that is that a friend of mine was saying, you know, her son was struggling, and he wanted to get a baseball scholarship to a particular college that is a private college, and she liked it because it wasn't so huge, and he liked it because they had a great baseball program. So she ordered the class, and Gene, all he did was watch the video, and he increased his score by 500 points, and she was ecstatic. And, you know, can you imagine if he had done it correctly, he probably would have increased it by 600. I mean, they were only hoping for a couple of hundred. So
wow.
Not only did he get his baseball scholarship, which he already had because he was very talented, but also he got academic because of this. And they were just hoping to, you know, get him into the school. And, you know, I don't know if he had around 1,100. But with a 500-point increase, that brought him up to, and her investment was, what, $100-something for, you know, for the books and the video. So, you know, it's like one of those stories, you know, Jean, if you only had a dollar for everyone who tells you these stories, you could be retired.
She needs to be my affiliate. That's what I say.
I know she does. You know, and it's like you said, Jean, it's almost, you know, the younger they start with studying on how to take this test, the better it is. And not necessarily, you know, there are some good logic programs out there, but this is, your program really maps out some really good test-taking skills, obviously, and even if you just watched the video. You know, I think he was an 11th grader or just going into his senior year, so he didn't have a whole lot of time and had to make a decision because he had several colleges looking at him. So, okay, so what do we do with the scores once we get them? Is it something that you know, what do you do with them?
Well, you know, when you sign up to take the test, you are given four boxes that you can add in four college codes that you're thinking about going to, and they will be sent out to the college for free. But if you're not quite sure or you don't want a college to see maybe a bad score because it's maybe your first time taking the test, you don't have to fill those out. And so once you get your score back and all of a sudden you say, oh, this is a great score, this is the one the college wants, you can send it in. It's a very nominal fee, around $10-$12. So there should never be any pressure on the students when they're going in and taking the test of, oh, my gosh, this is it. All the eggs are in one basket. Not at all. As a matter of fact, go in knowing that nobody ever has to see that score ever. And, only send in the ones that you want. And that's one of the things I tell people I get a lot of seniors who come into my class that have done nothing. You know, the counselors have told them to wait. And so all of a sudden they're now under the gun trying to get their applications in. Well, one of the great things, if there are any parents of seniors out there listening, very often many colleges will let your students keep taking the test even after they've applied for the college. You just, they send in one score, you know, even up to June of their senior year. So, again, remember, that's how they get their rankings nationally, and so because of your scores. So just because you might be taking it for the first time in senior year, don't just take it once or twice. If you need to, keep on taking it till you get the desired score. So keep that in mind. I want to take the pressure. I mean, there is a lot of anxiety already on the students when it comes to these tests. But if we can teach our kids to go in there and just relax and realize it's not the end of the world and you can always take a retest and no one ever has to see the score, it does take a lot of pressure off them.
Very good. You know, we talked about test scores for the SAT, but what about the PSAT?
The PSAT just came out. The new formatting came out last October 2015, and it's going to be basically the same formatting as the SAT, only, of course, it's shorter, and there's no essay, and there's less math. What they've done on the new PSAT is they've changed the scoring to a 320 to a 1520. Now, because it's so new and they're still gathering all, you know, the data, because before last year, you know, you basically received the national merit recognition or the cutoff scores were based on what state you lived in, you know, and how well everyone did, and that's how you were compared on the top, you know, 2 or 3% of the state. Because it's so new, they don't have anything to go by, so they're having to compile it all together to see what percentage of each state, you know, what's the cutoff score for each state. I already had several of my students who used my old program, and I say old, it's good until the end of January of 2016, but they used my program on the new formatting of the PSAT and still got, you know, what we think will be national merit range in the 99 percentile. Again, it's still very new, and we won't know, and couple of years are really going to have to go by that we really get a better idea of what will be the cutoff score for each state. But keep in mind,
while I'm on the phone with you, I logged into my son's collegeboard.org, and before his tests were not on here, they are. I will not tell you what they are on air, but I am very excited. They don't like me to share stuff. So I just want to say he did above average, and and I'm excited. He does have room for improvement, and it does give you, it says here, like, what the range is, and then it also has projected range for next year. There was a benchmark, and he did several hundred over that benchmark.
Wow.
So,
awesome.
So that was, yeah, I'm excited. And, of course, his strength is in – what? I need to do a video for you.
You need to do a video testimonial for me. Absolutely.
I hate me on video. I only own this network, and I purposely have a podcast network. As my friend used to say, who did real radio, although this is real radio in our day, right? She used to always say she had a face for radio. So I feel like that too. But anyway, I'm excited. So, you know, he does have some room for improvement in math. And so, you know, he got pushed along in math because he's several years younger than my other daughter, and he worked on her level. So, yeah, good news here. And we did use your program, and I'm excited to see, you know, what some of the changes are in your program. But just, you know, based on this, and he didn't think he did really well. He did say it was different than what he was familiar with the SAT. So going into that with that thought, and also in our area, he had to take it with the public school kids. So being a homeschooler, walking into a school where bells are going off and we're sitting in the office, and then having a student come and take him to a classroom where he had to sit and wait for announcements and then take the test, your anxiety is going to be higher the first time. You know, usually when they go take the SAT, everybody's there to take the SAT. It's on a Saturday. Everybody walks in together. Your name is called. You know what I mean? And that's a little bit easier than this situation where you're going and you're taking it in a classroom with other high school students, and you don't go to that high school. So So having said that, I think next time he takes it in the 11th grade, he's going to be familiar, you know, with how it works, and he won't be as nervous as he probably was taking this. So
right.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Okay, onward with the show. A little segue there. You can see we're real, Jean, on this podcast. And okay, so if let's say you think you made a mistake. Let's say that the kids did fill in the box where a college got their scores or something like that. You can always send them the super score, the composite of their highest test scores at some point, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They, you know, they get hundreds and hundreds of SAT scores a day, you know, a lot of these colleges, and they just want the highest scores. If I, you know, that's one thing I emphasize is don't worry. You might have just had a bad test day and, you know, you sent your score in. Don't worry about it. They're not going to go back and go, yeah, but this day, you know, you have this score. Again, you get your money based on your scores. 85% of colleges give you and fund you based on your test scores, because ultimately they look good the higher the scores. And so don't stress over it. And again, it's not the end of the world. Everybody has a bad test day every now and then, and so it's not a big deal. And they're not worried about it, so don't fear. And if I can tell anybody, families out there, don't fear. I mean, I have met people who've come to me, adults, who said, you know, I was a good student, you know, I was an honor, an AP student, great GPA, and yet I bombed this test, and it has haunted me for 30 years. Well, this test shouldn't haunt me. And I get what they're saying.
Right.
They couldn't figure out why, if they're, you know, a good student and, a you know, doing well in school, why does this test define them when you bomb it? And I just want people to know that, number one, it's not your normal test. It's logic. It's a critical thinking test. It's designed to trick you. You know, they're looking to see how well you can, you know, reason out and come to the conclusion that they've come to. That's what they're testing. They're testing your mental ability, not so much your IQ. I don't want it to haunt people for the next 30 years. I want you to realize that, hey, if you bomb it, not a big deal. Take it again.
Right. Very good. All right, Jean, well, thank you so much. And as always, this was a very informative show, and I look forward to hearing about other things that are coming up. And also, we are going to be talking about coming up in future podcasts, getting that scholarship money and also financial aid. We're going to talk about that. All right, well, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lisa.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the College Prep Genius Radio Show. You can find more episodes at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast or listen on iTunes, on your favorite podcast app, on your phone, on your computer, or on the go. Remember, visit collegeprepgenius.com for more information, and we'll see you soon.